everyone, and welcome back to yet another episode of the Deeper Podcast here at Friendship Church. I'm Austin Slater. That's Pastor Dan Kinnis. Happy beginning of fall. I think that technically happened this last week. It's the end of summer. I know it's weird, Dan, because I don't have kids right now. So, like, summer is not different from fall and winter with the exception of the, like, weather.
Right.
So, like, for me, this is just another day.
Right. Right. Yeah, you're not on the school schedule.
I'm not on the school schedule yet. So it is kind of weird, but I hope that all of you who are on these new and adapted schedules are adapting well. I know I'm looking forward to the fall back. That is the one thing about fall that I look forward to.
Yes. Yeah, it's a beautiful season. But
it is a beautiful season. And I think I've said this on the podcast before, but my claim is that the first half of fall and the last half of spring, glorious. Mm. Obviously, summer is the perfect season. But everything from that first half of fall to the last half of spring, we could just skip it. But all that to say, good to have you all here. Good to have you here again, Dan. Thanks for coming back. We have a special kind of one-off sermon here, not a part of our big series. Why don't you refresh your memory on what that was?
Yeah, love to do that. In fact, it's fitting you talk about seasons. We were talking about growth. The growing seed in that parable Jesus tells in Mark 4, just a couple of verses there. A lot of agricultural imagery, and there's several other, the parable of the sowers in that chapter too. But we just focused in on this parable of the growing seed, the only one that begins with that explicit phrase, the kingdom of God is like this. So very closely ties it to the kingdom. And we said, what do we need to learn about the kingdom as Jesus is teaching it here? And so talked about how Jesus is expressing the kingdom's here now, because he's come, and that's an important thing to know, even as we're waiting for the fullness of it. So what does that mean for us that it is here now? How can we see that? And then we talked about how, especially that real heart of the parable, is that the kingdom is growing, but that takes time and is often hidden or mysterious as how that growth is taking place. And said it's not so much about the farmer in the story, it's just, the seed is growing. And then talked about, the harvest is coming too, and that is going to happen, a plant reaches that point and then the harvest happens. And so that expectation, that promise that this is coming in God's timing as well. So that was kind of how we broke it out as Jesus did there and talked about some of the implications of each. What do we take away from each of these points Jesus is making? And it's life in this world. I think some of it was just that, this doesn't always match up. Okay, the kingdom's here, but here's life. And what's going on? What's the dissonance between those two, and how do we deal with that? So I think even as we go deeper on it together today, we'll connect with some of that.
Yeah,
the disconnect between kingdom here, not yet, life right now, seeing some of it, but not only.
And what's our role in navigating it? Because it seems some of our role is as gardener, some of it's like it's happening without us. There's a lot of good stuff in here. Starting on that first point, then, we were talking a lot about, the past tense and the present tense and how all the rest of this parable was set in the present tense. It is actively happening. But this first part in verse 26, I think, was in the past tense because the kingdom has already come. And we were talking about how that just frees us up so much because we're not living under, the old covenant, for one, like we've talked about in the past. But even prior to that, we're not living under this thing where, like, we have to try to compete to earn the attention of the gods and, maybe earn grace from one of them if we serve hard enough. Like, we are in completely uncharted territory. It's completely new. We are so set free from the way the world runs. I love that. And yet, despite that being a pretty big element of our faith, this, freedom that we have in Christ, every now and then you do start to see people saying, actually, things are so bad right now. We really just kind of need to go back to the old way of doing things. I've seen some videos of folks, of pastors, even some of them say, like, that turn the other cheek thing was good, but you only have so many other cheeks to turn. It's kind of this regression. It's saying, we have this freedom. We are under this new covenant, but we don't need to live under the new covenant freedoms. Let's go back to the old way of doing things. What do we say in response to that? Because that seems really antithetical to what we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, it's almost trying to like bring the kingdom in, maybe in our own timing and own value, right? I mean, I think some have used the phrase toward the end of the message, right? And understanding that we're servants of the kingdom, but we're not the cause of it, right? And that's of course initially true, and Jesus brings it right away, as we were talking about with that past tense, I brought it now, but also with the fruition of it,
Yeah.
that we can't speed up God's timeline. And I think that's the temptation we get into with some of that thinking. And it comes from the reality of the question we answered all throughout, or maybe didn't answer, but just dealt with, of we know the kingdom's here, we trust that it's coming, but why does things look like the way they look like the way they do now?
Yeah.
Right. And so how do we deal with that? And some of it is we deal with it by the we gotta fight back. Maybe we gotta put aside a little bit of the character of the kingdom so we can have a little more say now. Or and I think a lot of that just goes to be empathetic or sensitive to those, you know, where that goes. I think it's coming from like a desire to see the kingdom come in fruition and dealing with some of the injustices and the brokenness. And it's just trying to maybe become more of a cause than we are, right? Instead of serving the kingdom and seeking to live out that character. So that's, and how do you have that conversation, right? It's trying to help us see like, oh, this is maybe not in our character. We're taking on some of the character of what we're going away
Well,
from.
I think it kind of like the second point we were talking about, on the gardener. Like you said at the start of that section that, we would like to see more about like the gardener's, is this the lazy gardener? Why isn't he doing things? The point isn't that he's the gardener. The point is that the things are happening regardless, and they're happening so far beyond the gardener's control.
It's about the kingdom with the seed,
Yeah,
not
not
necessarily
about
the
the
gardener
gardener
himself.
himself. Yes. And so actually with that, we talked a lot about how, this is going to happen, regardless of what we do. The kingdom will be coming, but it takes time and it happens in really mysterious ways. And I don't know about you, Dan, but I almost guarantee I'm probably less this than you in that I really hate mysteries. So when a few years ago, back when I was in college, the big Avengers movies were the thing. They had Endgame and Infinity War both came out while I was in college. And it was all the like, who's gonna die and who's gonna live? And we all, it's a really big deal. And me, I hate that mystery so much that before I watched it, I Googled who died and who lived, which has earned me nothing but endless derision from my friends for doing that. But just I hate
Right, you want to know.
mysteries. I want to know what's happening. And that definitely, although probably not for most people to that degree, translates also over to these areas of faith. We're like, we want to know what's happening. We want to know how it's going to happen, especially our society. Now we are like, we love our, punctuality in this time, and it's going to happen this way, this way, this way. Da, da, da. We've planned out our own meal plan for the next month, and that's not an unnatural thing for us to do. But God really lives in this mystery that we don't understand what or why or how he's doing things sometimes. So how can we cultivate that openness to mystery?
Yeah, it's so interesting, right? I think in so many ways, and God gives us obviously minds to think and do things, but yeah, we go about systematically trying to solve everything, right? And almost to take mystery out of, you know, the experience of life, right? We want to know exactly how things happen. There's nothing that's kind of like, that's wild, you know? And it's maybe says something about us. Like you said, we want to control everything, we want to know everything. And yet so many times in my life, as I look back, it was the unplanned moments that were the most enjoyable or the most formative, or, you know, and not that there wasn't good things happening in a plan, right? I'm not advocating like, have to see what happens if they don't do anything. Hey, we know better than that. The scripture speaks to wisdom and the balance, but we can so overdo it, right? And so I think hunker down that it's really more about us again than it is about the Lord and his leading. Because it's not like he doesn't tell us anything. In fact, we see in the parable, he tells us how it's going to end, right? So it's not like we don't know where this is all going. He's done this harvest is coming, right? It's coming. We just don't know everything in between. And to speak to your movie example, right? So some movies, right, just because of the genre, you know exactly where this is going. I remember when the newer Top Gun movie came out, right? I'm like, I know where this is going. I know they're going to complete this mission. But I didn't know exactly how it was going to go down. And it still had my attention, right? Quite well. Like, oh, that was, oh, yeah, no. And you still get into it. We know where God's leading things, but we don't know ourselves personally, people around us, exactly how this is going to go and the timing. And I think the communication for us is part of a journey of faith is to obviously trust the Lord in that and trust that He's going to be leading, He's going to be present through all the ups and downs. But part of the life of faith is enjoying that ride with the Lord because we do trust Him. And yeah, there's hard moments, obviously. And well, we see that even in the life of Jesus as He's going through that. He's going to go to the cross, and the disciples there are kind of disappointing at times, and all of that. And we go up and down too. We have sins we deal with, we have tragedies we deal with, and losses. That's still life in this world. It's not yet. But to know we can walk, knowing where it's going in the end, it gives a whole different perspective. So knowing that the mystery, at least in some sense, has been revealed, the kingdom is here now because of Jesus, to go back to your first set of questions, and then we know it's coming in full, can help us in the meantime. And maybe those things tie together, like that whole, like, we're going to make the kingdom come is probably symptomatic of our desire to control
Oh,
everything,
for sure,
right?
it absolutely is.
And so then, yeah, where are we getting overboard, right? And sometimes our spouses can help us, or other family members who maybe, if I'm wired that way, they're less so. It's like, all right, let's just pull back
Very
a little bit.
exhausting.
And and in the schedule, even just trying to reflect and take time, like, to see what's God doing. Because I think, and this is, I'm leading us to where we're going to go next, but we can focus very easily on the stuff that isn't good and that's negative, and like, this isn't working, that's not working. Personally, church, world, we talked about that. But is there time to say, like, oh, God is doing something here? There's something coming out of the ground here now. That wasn't there last week. And I think a beautiful thing with our children, we've been doing these soybean things, and now as the summer came,
Starting to
that's
see
like, oh,
them.
it's getting to the harvest time. And so you see that growth happen. Or we use the imagery and the message about the World Trade Center and that. Like, and for a long time, are you doing anything down there? They just move pushing dirt around. What's happening? And all of a sudden, here it comes. But 5, 6 years of groundwork, and that's hard for, right?
We are not
You
used
know,
to that.
when it's with my health, even, like, man, this I should be seeing more signs of healing here, but it just sometimes goes slowly. So yeah, it's in some ways it's a test for us too in our faith of, do we keep walking with the Lord? Do we try to take matters in our own hands? But yeah, God does give us the picture of where this is going. That's not in doubt. But the enemy tries to cloud that, with, oh, what? But look at this. This is maybe that's not true either. And that's where I think we have to make sure we're not missing that big picture of things. So.
Yeah, well, absolutely. One to get into that then, because it is such a natural thing for us to look at that negative, and to really fall into despair. It's especially as fallen people that that is what we lean towards, right? We lean towards what's broken. We see what's broken. I had a friend has this really great example of it for him where his brother had, they won't classify it as a heart attack, but effectively a heart attack, when he was in high school still. He just dropped in the middle of the basketball floor, needed to go to the hospital. It was really traumatic for that whole community, for his family. And we were really close at the time too. And he was telling me afterwards, his brother, really, it was a miracle that he survived, but he survived. He ended up actually playing their final game of the season. It was like almost out of a movie kind of situation. My friend has gone back and thought about that moment. He tells me, he's like, Austin, he's like, this bothers me so much. But throughout all that time, I had countless people reaching out saying, hey, we love you. We're praying for you. We're praying for your brother, praying for your family. What can we do to help? He's like, I cannot remember almost any of that. What I can remember is the two or three people who I thought would reach out and did it. And that's just part of our sin nature, right? We remember the things that don't go the way we want them to go. And even though we know where everything's going, we know that the harvest is going to happen. Moving that from our head to our heart is a really big step sometimes. So how do we practically do that? How do we make sure we don't fall into despair, even though we know where it's going to all wind up?
Yeah, that's a great example you gave your friend there. Because, and I was thinking too, you know, if you have a review at your work and they list 10 positive things, why is it the negative one? You're like, oh, what? You know, I can't believe that came up. Or is it, do I really need to? You're completely almost forgotten about all the positive things you heard there. So there is that wiring. And I think too, it's important to acknowledge, you know, and for those, you know, watching, listening, we do go through tough stuff in life, right? We have losses, you know, scary health things like that, and Greece, and just, yeah, we see injustices and brokenness, and it's in every facet of life. And we can't just act, and it's not healthy to act like those things aren't real. They are. So we do need to grieve and lament and have some sorrow about these things. That's maybe part of coming to a healthy point of this. Like, we do need to, we can't just, no, because then eventually it will, I think, hit us in a way that will be overwhelming. So we do need to grieve these things, but it's what helps us not to get overboard with that and go to despair and overly focused on all these negative things. And I think that's what we're trying to get into here. And I think some of it is, you know, just what are we focusing on? And again, some of us, this can be more of a clinical struggle, right? But I know from talking to counselors, they will, that's a tool they'll use, right? And give to people, like, when you feel that anxiety, that, you know, that kind of be down and looking at those, like, take some time to, like, say, okay, what good things have been going on? What are some positive things? I mean, I think it's good, obviously, if you're really clinically dealing with anxiety, depression, but for all of us, sometimes we just lose sight, especially when we're in the middle of it. It's really hard to see, like, what is anything's going on? Oh, there are people reaching out. There are people caring for me. You know, that one hasn't disappeared in this process, right? Even as we are grieving what's happening, what's not happening, yeah, whatever it might be. So that practice of looking for those evidences,
I think
and looking.
as much of a, you know, cliche as it is, like there really is something powerful to don't count your blessings thing.
Sure.
Like even if it's just I have a roof over my head and I'm breathing well, or I'm breathing better than I was yesterday,
Yeah.
that can make a big difference.
Right. And that is true. I mean, we were talking before we came on air here and just about illnesses, right? And, you know, families going through some of that, and you know, just the perspective of, like, well, yeah, it's not fun. Somebody's sick in the family and dealing with that. If it's kids, you got to deal with that too. But boy, you know, I know from other experience, it could be a lot worse, right? And so some of that perspective can be helpful. Knowing, of course, like, if I'm talking to you and you're going through something, you've had a loss, I have to be sensitive, like, what the?
There's common sense to it,
Right.
but
But
look,
yeah, Austin, you had a nice turkey sandwich today. Like, you know, that might not be the most helpful light in the moment, or those kind of things. But overall, like, to see, like, what are the evidences of, and sometimes that happens over a longer period of, you talk to people who have lived a good deal of life, and it's like, I couldn't see it in you for a long time. Why this happened? But no, I do see, you know, how God was at work and the things he brought about and the situations he brought me to because of that. And because the kingdom's already here, and we know it's coming in full, we can be looking. It's not the opiate of the masses. You know, it is something we truly believe. We can be looking for these things, and we're not just making them up. We can see the evidence going on there. And we help others do that when they're in the midst of it. I think it helps us to be reminded that's there too. But we do need to acknowledge, yeah, the hurts, the brokenness. That question is there that we raised in the sermon. If the kingdom's here, why this? You know, and sometimes we need to point out, you know, in my life, in the life of a church, in the world too, like, this isn't it. This is wrong, right? And we need to sometimes see those things so we can move forward in a better way, especially within the church, right? As Christians personally. So yeah, we sometimes need to see, you know, if you're someone who's very good at pointing out the negative, we need some of that.
Right.
If you
So,
just will,
yeah,
it's
that's
a
right.
positive, right? And
Yeah.
I went through an activity recently where we're working through some changes, and we had the group time. It was like, now is the minute where you can bring all the negative stuff out. Like, that's what could go wrong? And that was sure. But then it was like, and that's that. And now we're going to have the time where you could focus, like, what could go well? What could, you know, that was really a good activity that I'm going to bring to other things, because sometimes that's all coming together. But it was like, no, this is the set time. Let's write down and talk about what could go. There's a space for that to say, like, oh, this isn't good, or this isn't working right, or we need to hear that. It's just when reach well there, right? It starts to go away from like, well, what God is working.
Yeah.
And doing things. The kingdom is growing. So
yeah.
Yeah. Really balanced.
I appreciate that. That's really helpful. We're going now into a new season. Are we starting a new sermon series?
Yes. Yes. So just a few weeks here in September, and these things will kind of connect together what we're going to do in October too. But for the next couple of weeks, we're really going to focus on a couple of verses in Colossians 2 that talk about being rooted, built up in Christ. And just this kind of idea of our foundations. And as Paul is speaking in Colossians there, he talks about false teachers, but almost like the fundamental concern is you might forget what you have in your faith and what that's all about, what you've received in Christ. And that's really what causes us to get into trouble, where we don't realize what we have. And so focusing on those foundations, this first week we're going to look at, yeah, we're rooted in Christ. What have we received? It's first and foremost there. And then the second week, we'll look a little more particularly at, okay, we're a Christian Reformed church. What are those Reformed roots we have that Paul writes about holding on to the traditions that have been given to you? Like, what's the Reformed roots we have? And then the third week will be, we're here at Friendship, right? We're a unique community even within that tradition. So what are some of our values and characteristics that we, as we go forward into this ministry season, need to be living out as God's called us to? So kind of big picture, big wide funnel at first, you know, yes, we are a community of Christ followers,
right?
What does that mean? How do we maintain those roots? And then to a little more of that Reform specific, and then Friendship.
Perfect.
That's kind of the next 3 weeks ahead. So
cool. Well, that'll be really fun. Thank you again, Dan, for your insight on this. Thanks for helping me parse all of this.
Yeah.
Thanks to all of you for being a part of this, of working through this together with us. Looking forward to seeing you in the next few weeks, and go on in peace to love and serve the Lord.